Bibles this morning. Show me your Bibles. That's good. Quite a few of you. Probably most of the ones you can read. And that's even better. All right, you're going to help me find the chapter and verse that we're going to start with today. So, ready for a sword drill? Bibles up. 1 Samuel chapter 18. Verse 1, 1 Samuel 18:1. Go. Thank you very much. You can sit down. 1 Samuel chapter 18, again, verse 1. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Verse 2. And Saul took him that day, and would let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant, because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him, and gave it to David, and his garments, even to his sword, and to his bow, and to his girdle. And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war. And he was accepted in the sight of all the people, and also in the sight of Saul's servants. And it came to pass, as they came, when David was returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, that the women came out of all cities of Israel, singing and dancing to meet King Saul, with tabrets, with joy, and with instruments of music. And the women answered one another as they played, and said, Saul hath slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s. And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And he said, They have ascribed unto David 10,000s, and to me they have ascribed but thousands. And what can he have more but the kingdom? And Saul eyed David from that day and forward. And it came to pass on the morrow that the evil spirit from God came upon Saul, and he prophesied in the midst of the house. And David played with his hand as at other times, and there was a javelin in Saul's hand. And Saul cast the javelin, for he said, I will smite David even to the wall with it. And David avoided out of his presence twice. And Saul was afraid of David, because the Lord was with him, and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him, and made him his captain over 1,000. And he went out and came in before the people. And David behaved himself wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Wherefore, when Saul saw that he behaved himself very wisely, he was afraid of him. But all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. And Saul said to David, Behold my elder daughter Merab, her will I give thee to wife, only be thou valiant for me, and fight the Lord's battles. For Saul said, Let not mine hand be upon him, but let the hand of the Philistines be upon him. We're going to stop there. This morning, we're going to learn about David's friends and enemies. David's friends and enemies. And the interesting thing about David's life, in this instance especially, it's a picture of the Christian life. In this way, we're going to learn about Christians' friends and Christians' enemies. All right, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. Thank you for your many blessings. Thank you, Lord, for each one that is here today. Father, I pray that you would help me as I bring this lesson, that you would give me the words to say, help me to make it plain to these young people. Lord, I pray that these young people would be encouraged in their Christian walk this morning, that they would be ready for enemies of you to become enemies of theirs, and not to be surprised about it. Lord, I pray that you bless this time now. In Jesus' name, amen. First thing I want you to notice is Jonathan became a friend to David, here in verse 1. Let's read it again. And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that is, David was speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Now, I want you to go back and read verses 55 of the last chapter through the end of the chapter. Remember, this last chapter was David defeating Goliath. And I want you to notice what David does or does not do to Jonathan or for Jonathan or with Jonathan. Yet Jonathan loves David as his own soul. Verse 55. And when Saul saw David go forth against the Philistine, he said unto Abner, the captain of the host, Abner, whose son is this youth? And Abner said, As thy soul liveth, O king, I cannot tell. And the king said, Inquire thou whose son the stripling is. And as David returned from the slaughter of the Philistine, Abner took him and brought him before Saul with the head of the Philistine in his hand. And Saul said to him, Whose son art thou, thou young man? And David answered, I am the son of thy servant Jesse, the Bethlehemite. Now, what has David done for Jonathan, to Jonathan, or with Jonathan? Nothing, right? Jonathan's name hasn't even been mentioned. Yet verse 1 of chapter 18, And it came to pass, when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul, that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David. And Jonathan loved him as his own soul. Jonathan had no outward reason to love David like this. Jonathan befriended David and loved David as his own soul. He didn't have to. Jonathan didn't have to make David his friend. Jonathan was the crown prince of Israel. Who's David? The shepherd boy, right? David is the shepherd boy. Yes, he had just killed Goliath. Yes, he's going to become a national hero overnight now. But he's still a shepherd boy. The crown prince had no need, no outward reason to make the shepherd boy his beloved friend. Jonathan here is a picture of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ had no reason to make me and you his friend. But he did it anyway. We were his enemies, but yet he loved us and he made us his beloved friend. Here, David, Jonathan doesn't know it, but David is, in essence, he's Jonathan's arch enemy because David is the next king of Israel. Jonathan is going to be dethroned by David. Jonathan is never going to rule on the throne of Israel. It's going to be David instead. And so, in reality, David is Jonathan's worst enemy. Just like you and I were Jesus Christ's worst enemy when we were unsaved. And Jesus Christ loved us anyway. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jonathan didn't have to make David his friend. Jesus Christ didn't have to make you his friend. Yet, they both did it anyway. One more reason why it was interesting that Jonathan made David his friend. If you extrapolate the names and lives of these two men, and this is what I was taught in Bible college, and I don't know how somebody extrapolated their names, their lives, and ages. But anyway, I was taught that if you did extrapolate their ages, Jonathan could be as old as 40 years old. And David is in his early 20s or younger. There's an age difference here of about 20 years. Jonathan is 20 years older than David. Yet Jonathan loves David as his own soul. This young man who stands before his father, King Saul, Jonathan's love and soul is knit to David. And they make a covenant with each other. Jonathan makes a covenant with David that they would protect and love one another and be friends, and their children will be friends one with another forever. And that is just what Jesus did for you and I. Jesus made a covenant with you and I, the New Testament. And he paid for that covenant with his life. And you and I have promises that are sure that Jesus Christ is your friend forever. Not only did Jonathan make a covenant with David, Jonathan gives David some things that belong to him. Look at verse 4. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David. And that is exactly what Jesus Christ did for you when you got saved. Jesus Christ gave you his robe of righteousness. Furthermore, he stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David and his garments, even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. Not only did Jesus Christ give you his robe of righteousness, Jesus Christ gave you the armor of God, his armor. That's what Jonathan did for David. He gave him everything that was on him. He gave him his war attire, if you will. He loved him and he took everything off and he gave it to David as a sign of the covenant between them. And Jesus Christ gave you his righteousness. You can now stand before the Lord God, and God looks at you and doesn't see your sin anymore. He sees the righteousness of Jesus Christ that you accepted when you got saved and said, "Lord Jesus, I'm a sinner. Please save me." And Jesus gave you his righteousness and he gave you his armor. Let's take a look at that armor. Swords ready. Let's find that spot. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Go. And verse 11.
Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil.
Thank you. Put on the whole armor of God. This is what Jesus gave to you. Verse 12. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Those are the enemies that you and I face after we've been saved, those are the reasons why Jesus gave us this armor. Verse 13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Jesus gave you his armor, this armor that we are to use against the wiles of the devil. Just like Jonathan here in 1 Samuel 18, go back there now, gave David all of his war attire. He gave him everything that he had on him. He stripped himself down, took all of his outer garments off, and gave them to David. All of his weapons, his bow, even his belt that would hold his sword up. He gave it all to David. And Jesus gave everything to you when you got saved. Not only is Jonathan, though, a picture of Jesus Christ, Jonathan is a picture of something else, someone else. He's a picture of brothers and sisters in Christ. Brothers and sisters in Christ who will become your friend for life as soon as they get to know you. You see, Jonathan, he had met David before. He'd seen David in the palace. But now he sees how David behaves. And Jonathan loves the way David behaves, and Jonathan, his soul is knit to David. You see, again, David was only doing what he knew to be right. David had not done anything for Jonathan or to Jonathan that made Jonathan love him for what he had done to him or for him. David had only been doing what the Lord told him to do. He'd only been living his life the way he knew God wanted him to live his life. And as he lived his life and did those things that God wanted him to do, his life crossed paths with a man of like-mindedness and like faith, Jonathan. And when their lives crossed paths, their lives were knit together. Their souls were knit together. And that is the same way as you and I live for the Lord Jesus Christ and go through life. As we do what we know that what God wants us to do, our lives are going to cross paths with total strangers. And they will become your friends in a matter of minutes, not because of you, not because of them, but because of a mutual friend, the Lord Jesus Christ. They will become your friend for life because you love Jesus and they love Jesus. Therefore, they are now your friend. That happened to me on this trip down to Guatemala. William and I had parted ways. He went down to Tijuana and I took the bus. He took the van and Mom Bond and his family to Tijuana to meet with Julie. And I took the bus and George, the Mexican from... He's not a Mexican. He's a U.S. citizen. The Spanish fella from Riverview. And I didn't go down to San Diego. I took the first interstate and went east. And it was Friday night when we parted ways. So all day Saturday I was headed east. And I started thinking about, well, where should we go to church on Sunday? So I started at the stops. I got my phone out and started looking for independent Baptist churches in Phoenix. Well, there's a lot of them, at least the so-called independent Baptist churches. And I was having a hard time finding one. And I had decided on one because something in my mind was, I recognize this guy's name. And Sunday morning, I started driving towards that church, put it in my GPS. And then I started thinking about that guy's name again and the church's name. And I had looked on their website, and something about this preaching series, Babylon USA, that this preacher was doing, I thought, wait a second. Babylon USA. Called my dad and said, Dad, do you recognize this name and this preacher? He said, yeah, that's that Fruit Loop that's gone off the deep end. Ah, that's why I recognize that name in that church. Okay, well, it was Sunday morning, like 2 hours before the service, and so I got back on my phone and started looking for a different church. And I started realizing that I'm not going to get to Phoenix by the time that all these churches are done. Like, I'll get there for the last 10 minutes of the service. So I found a town sooner and started typing in. I typed in Buckeye, Baptist Churches in Buckeye, Arizona. And one came up, Buckeye Baptist Church. And I looked at the website, and he was an older fella, one of the few older preachers. And I thought, ah, if there's going to be one safe thing to do, is to choose an older preacher. And so that's why I chose him, because his picture, he was older, and his wife and he were dressed in real suits and good, nice clothing. She was dressed in nice clothing. So I chose that church to go to in Buckeye, Arizona. So we stopped in. Sure enough, it was a good church. It was a good preacher. And that preacher didn't know me from Adam. We'd never met before in our lives. But I told him what I was doing. I got this bus. I'm helping a missionary. He's not here. He's in Tijuana. That was a little awkward. But he and I are going to meet up at a later town. It ended up being El Paso, but anyway. He and I are going to meet up later again in a caravan down to Guatemala, and this bus is going to be donated to a church down there. And he got pretty excited about it and started asking me where I'm from and what church do I go to. And somehow or other, it came out that our church had recently built a building and they're renting from the Lutheran church. And he wanted me to give a testimony of how our church built our building. And so that was interesting. It was a lot of prayer and a lot of sacrificial giving. That's what I told him. I hope that was right. Anyway, so he had me pray, and he had come up before everybody and pray, a total stranger. He had me give a testimony from our church about how we got our building. He had me give a testimony of what I was doing. Just total stranger was doing all these things in his church that day. Why? Because he knew I loved Jesus and he loved Jesus. And then after church, he invited me to stay the night at his house. Again, I could, you know, you don't necessarily invite total strangers to come to your house. They could rob you blind. But here he invited me and George to come stay at his house overnight. I accepted for the day because of the overheating problem. I was going to sleep during the day and drive at night. So George and I, he took us out to eat. Then he took us home. And we got a shower, nice shower. What was interesting about that shower is there is no cold water. Turned on the cold water. I thought, man, I'm going to get a nice, cool shower. Turned on that cold shower and it was hot. Turned it further and it got boiling. Turned it back down and it was still hot. They hadn't dug the ditch deep enough for the pipeline. Down there in Arizona, all they have is hot water. Oh my goodness. Anyway, but he and I got a nice shower and went to bed and I slept in his house. And he did all that for me because we both love Jesus. And now Pastor Roy, Pastor James Roy in Buckeye, Arizona, if I ever drive through, he wants me to stop in there again. And that's probably what I'm going to do on the way back down to Guatemala. I'll have a nice place to stop and get refreshed. And Pastor Roy is going to want me to share again at Buckeye Baptist Church what I'm about to do there in Guatemala. So our souls are knit together, just like Jonathan and David's soul was knit together because they loved God. And they both wanted to serve God and be obedient to God. And Jonathan is just like brothers and sisters in Christ. They will welcome you. They will be your friends forever once they get to know you and know that you love Jesus. So that is the friend of David. And furthermore, more friends of David would be the people of Israel. As we read, the people of Israel love David. Saul, on the other hand, he never became David's friend. You'll notice in verse 5, it says, "And David went out whithersoever Saul sent him, and behaved himself wisely. And Saul set him over the men of war." And notice what it says, "And he was accepted in the sight of Saul." No, doesn't say that, does it? Never once does it say that David was accepted in the sight of Saul. It says he was accepted in the sight of all the people and also in the sight of Saul's servants, but not Saul. Saul never was David's friend at any time. Saul was an opportunist. Go back. I didn't look up the chapter. Let me see if I can find it. Go back in 1 Samuel. To chapter 13. Now let's see here. Yes, chapter 13, verse 3. Brother Jared preached on this several months ago. And in verse 3 of chapter 13, the Bible says, "And Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines." Kids, who smote the garrison of the Philistines? Jonathan. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it, and Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard what? All Israel heard say that Saul had smitten the garrison of the Philistines. Did Saul smite the garrison of the Philistines? No. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines. Saul was an opportunist. He saw an opportunity to further his fame and his name. And so he lied. And he said, decided, well, Jonathan is my subordinate. Jonathan is my son. So I did that. No, he didn't do that. He took the fame for what somebody else did. And that is exactly what he does with David. Not that he takes the fame of David, but he saw an opportunity to use a warrior. And he took it. Not that he liked the man. Not that the man was his friend. He just knew that David was a really good fighter. And David won battles. And so David was set over his men of war. Remember, Saul had a standing army of 3,000 men. At one time, Saul ordered 2,000 and Jonathan ordered 1,000. Well, when David came here, Saul makes David the captain of the host. David is the captain of the host of Israel. He's over 3,000 men. And notice what happens further. David, it comes back from a battle. In verse 7, the women answers one another as they played and said, "Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s." And Saul was very wroth, and the saying displeased him. And basically he said, if David wanted to overthrow my kingdom, he could do it in a heartbeat. Verse 9, "And Saul eyed David from that day and forward." Skip down to verse 12. "And Saul was afraid of David because the Lord was with him and was departed from Saul. Therefore Saul removed him from him." In other words, he removed him from being the captain of the entire host of Israel and made him his captain over 1,000. So now he redoes the structure of the army. He's the captain over 1,000. Jonathan is the captain over the other 1,000 again. And now David is the captain over the third 1,000. So he restructures the army. But Saul never became David's friend. He was always using David for Saul's benefit. He always wanted David to go fight his battles. And David did. And David was a good fighter. And David won the battles. He did everything that Saul wanted him to do. But yet as Saul got to know David, he realized that David could be the one that God was going to give Saul's kingdom to. Remember, Samuel had promised Saul, "I will give your throne to a neighbor of thine who is better than thou." So that's what Samuel told Saul. So Saul is always looking for this neighbor of his that is better than him. And he gets to know David and he realizes, David is better than me. David is famous. Everybody loves David. David could be the one who is going to take my throne. From that point, Saul wasn't keeping him close because he liked. From that point, Saul wasn't keeping him close just because he liked him and his fighting skills. He was keeping him close to keep an eye on him. He wanted to watch David's every move. Instead of becoming David's friend, Saul became David's enemy for life. Again, David was only doing what he knew was right to do, right? Saul said, "Go out and fight this battle." David would go out and fight the battle. He was obedient to Saul. He was even living his life in obedience to Saul. And for no good reason, Saul decided to make David his enemy. Saul's mind became so twisted against David that he tries to kill his obedient and successful soldier. He throws a javelin at him two times. And the life of David, in many ways, is a good picture, like I said before, of the Christian life. David got friends just because he loved the Lord and he wanted to serve God. You and I will have friends as we serve God and be obedient to God. You and I will get friends just because they love Jesus and I love Jesus. But as we go through life, the opposite is true, as in the case of Saul. We will be being obedient to God as David was. We will be doing everything that we know to be right as David was. And for no good reason, someone will decide he hates us. And we in most cases have not done anything to that person. We Christians, while being obedient to the Lord, will naturally get friends like Jonathan. But just as naturally, we will also get enemies just for doing what is right. And don't be surprised, young people, when you acquire an enemy and you can't figure out, why does this guy not like me at all? You may not ever be able to figure out what you did to this guy. And it might be because you didn't do anything to him. You just lived your life in obedience to God. You might not have done anything at all except be a Christian. There are many people in this world, and there are getting to be more and more of them, who simply love evil, and they hate good and right things. And Saul is a picture of those people. David didn't deserve for Saul to try to smite him and kill him. David didn't deserve for Saul to hate him with a passion, but Saul did. Swords ready. 2 Timothy 3:12. 2 Timothy 3:12. Go. Very good. Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. God wants you young people to know that as you live for Him, you will find people in your life that hate you because you're a Christian. They're going to be mean to you and do wrong things to you because you're a Christian. Just like Jack approached that roadblock. They probably didn't know he was a Christian, but they wanted to do evil for evil's sake. And Jack narrowly avoided being robbed. And those men would have robbed him and could have done a lot of things to him, could have killed them. And it wasn't because Jack had done anything to them. There are just evil people in this world who want to do wrong. And Jesus told us, don't be surprised at that. Don't be shocked when this happens to you, kids. When you live your life and you're doing good things and somebody hates you and wants to do you harm. Jesus said, don't be surprised at that. Turn to John chapter 15. Jesus warned us that this is going to happen to you and I. Don't let it shake your faith. Don't decide, oh, Jesus doesn't love me because He let this happen to me. No, Jesus told you ahead of time that people will hate you. Don't decide that Jesus doesn't love you or that Jesus has done you wrong because a man or a woman hurts you. Jesus promised you that there will be people who want to hurt you. John 15, look at verse 18. If the world, this is Jesus speaking Himself, pay attention. If the world hate you, ye know that it hated me before it hated you. If ye were of the world would love his own. But because ye are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. You are not greater than Jesus Christ. If they have persecuted me, Jesus said, they will also persecute you. Jesus is saying, it's going to happen. I'm telling you before it does, don't let it shake your faith. People will hate you for being a Christian. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things will they do unto you. Why? For my name's sake. You are a Christian. Therefore, they don't like you. Because they know not him that sent me. You see, they don't like you because they hate God. And they can't get at God. He's sitting on his throne in heaven. It's very hard for them to hurt God. But they can hurt the people that love God, you and you. They can hurt you. You're the only person they can get at. And they hate God with a vengeance. And so they are willing to hurt Christians. One more verse, John, two more verses. John 16:33. Again, this is Jesus talking. These things I have spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. Jesus says, don't let it surprise you when people hurt you for my name's sake. Don't let it shake your faith when people hate you because you are simply because you're a Christian. In me, you have peace, and I have overcome the world. Don't let it shake your faith. And the last thing I want you to know, Jesus gave you a promise. Even though the world might hate you and want to do evil things like Saul did to David, Jesus gave you a promise about himself. Somebody find for me Proverbs 18:24. Proverbs 18:24. Who found Proverbs 18:24?
A man that has friends must
show
himself
friendly.
And there is a friend that
sticketh
closer.
Very good. A man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And this is the promise that Jesus gave to you. And there is a friend, Jesus, that sticketh closer than a brother. That's your promise that you can hang on to. When everybody wants to do you wrong, when they want to take your money or your home or just hurt you physically, Jesus said, I am your friend. And I will always be your friend. I will stick closer to you than a brother. So don't let it shake your faith. Jesus warned you ahead of time. They're going to dislike you. They're going to hate you. They will persecute you because they have persecuted me, and therefore they're going to persecute you. But I, Jesus said, will stick with you all the way, closer than a brother. Friends and enemies. We will get friends because we love Jesus. But we will also get enemies because we love Jesus. Let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, Lord, for warning us ahead of time so that we wouldn't be surprised, we wouldn't be shocked. Father, help our faith to be strong in you. And when people attack us, Satan attacks us, our faith won't be shaken. We won't doubt your word. We won't doubt you, but we will understand that you love us and you have promised to stay there right beside us all the way. Thank you, Lord, for that promise. Thank you for your love to us. Thank you that you befriended us when we were your enemy. And thank you for loving us all the way and taking us to heaven when we die. In Jesus' name, amen.